Hi, I'm Adam Field, and this is Untalented by Unknown and Canva.
Adam,
Hi.
I'm a 10-year-old right now.
Cool.
Explain to me what you do.
I try and convince people to buy stuff.
I love that. What's something that's helped you move faster in your career?
Probably staying as close to the evolution of technology and trends within the industry, because I think if you stay at the right level of that transition and that movement, you become really valuable to businesses.
What's the wrong level? Can you go too far? Can you become too reliant on
You
it?
can, because then you become too narrowly focused, and that can be a it can be a benefit. I started my career by being very niche on social media, and that started off with that being a benefit because no one else could do it. But
Interesting.
I would always try and get people to broaden out their spectrum to make sure that they are multidisciplined.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, and then finally, let's talk money. What's the top earner? What can they get in what you do?
It's quite a spectrum because you could be a CMO or a head of marketing at a really tiny little brand with very little responsibility, but the title gives you maybe a 50K salary, and you could be a CMO at a global business looking after thousands of people, and you might earn 300, 400 grand a year, and it's anything in between.
Yeah, totally.
It's
Real
pretty mad.
disparity. Got you. Okay, great. I want to dive straight into some more specific questions around you and what you do. So, what's a belief that you held 5 years ago that you no longer believe today?
5 years ago, I was preaching that you had to build a social community, and it was all about how many followers you had. And today, I think the total opposite is true, which is that it's not necessarily about how big your following is. It's actually how engaged you can be as a brand within the feeds that speak to non-followers. So 5 years ago, you could only talk to your followers on social media. The idea of the algorithm serving your content to new people didn't exist. The launch of TikTok meant that you didn't have to follow anyone. The moment you loaded your app, it would serve you content that it believed you'd be interested in, regardless if you followed the channel or not, or the influencer. And now that transition has meant you don't need to follow anyone. So having a following on social media doesn't mean anything anymore. What matters is building really great stories and great content. The community bit of it is now much more about niche, loyal communities, which might be smaller, and it's about offering them really fantastic experiences and benefits, which might mean that that community might be tiny, that following might be tiny, but it means that you're getting a much more engaged community. So the days of a CEO saying, "I want 1 million fans," is no longer, and it's much more around making your content work really hard in the feeds and the algorithms, so that more people are exposed to what you produce.
It's that thing about 100 true fans over 1,000 followers every single time, isn't it?
Yeah, but 5 years ago, it was the only metric people cared about.
Really? Is it becoming easier and easier to measure how loyal fans are, or how retained a fan is?
No, it's tricky because the metrics are polarizing. A lot of people will look at how much reach your content will get and the level of engagement within that content. A lot of people will look at the impact of that content. So does it deliver a transaction, a click-through, a web visit? So it is getting harder to measure, especially because brand metrics are softer metrics in a way. So if you want to measure consideration and awareness metrics, a lot of businesses won't be as interested in those metrics as they will be in just like transactional data. You know, how much product are people buying from us?
That's really interesting. How important is it then for you to be as close as you can with design and creative teams to ensure that the start of the funnel is leading all the way to what you want in building loyalty and retention?
It's important for different reasons, I think. It's important because the creative is now the driving factor of if your brand shows up to the right consumer in the right moment. Because if you just take a brand asset and you put it on a social platform, the chances are the algorithm is going to probably restrict how many people see that asset. If you it, and just
Interesting.
this is the nature of the way that the algorithms work. They're looking for highly engaging, highly organic, and platform native content to then serve to much broader audiences. So having that relationship with the creative teams is more important now than it ever has been.
I love that. Okay. So you've worked across legacy brands, social platforms. What's one thing that each of those businesses could learn from one another?
Brands can move faster, which is what social platforms do well. So brands sometimes have a tendency to move slower. And that can be because they are legacy brands. So the pace that they can move forward and iterate is slightly harder. Social platforms move really fast, but don't always listen to the consumer like a product, like a brand would. A brand will take the feedback and listen to what the consumer is saying and iterate and move accordingly. Social platforms tend to just go off what's going to drive a bigger profit for an ad model that they might have.
Amazing. And then when did you last feel creatively alive? And then what triggered that?
I was in New York about 6 months ago
Of
meeting some
course.
agencies. New York. I was meeting some creative agencies and it was a brief that we had given them, and one of the agencies came with this amazing creative concept, which was fueled by an out-of-home idea. And I never, and I think out-of-home as a media format is becoming so much more relevant
Yeah, it's
because
true.
it's taking our attention away from the screen and it's giving people that immersive experience. And they presented some ideas which were just, it got me so excited and energized about the idea that we might fulfill this creative concept on huge billboards in some, like a market like New York. And that's definitely what got my juices going.
Wow, I love that. It's actually like,
It was refreshing.
refreshing in a way where like we can let's look up, take our eyes away from the
And I think a
screen.
lot more brands are trying to do it. And
Really?
yeah, we met quite a few agencies, and a lot of them were talking about this experiential piece and activation piece. And I do think it's how brands are building loyalty with their
You
customers
think?
now. Loyalty is going to be driven much more with an emotional attachment to it. It's no longer just about a transactional
I
experience.
agree. I also feel like the experience of seeing something over and over and over again on your screen and then looking up and seeing it in person on a billboard or however it's blown up to be. That's really powerful because it's that recency bias. It's that thing of like, I know what I'm going to see just from the colors and the shapes and what I'm seeing. And I really love the idea of as long as that communication between the two is really clear and you're leveraging on the screen in a really nice way, I think you retain that information even better than we have ever before.
But have you seen the in New York Louis Vuitton? Have you seen what they did with their store where they turned the outside of the building into Louis Vuitton bags?
Yes, the 3D thing.
But it's I mean, I when I was there recently, I walked past it and I genuinely stopped, took photos, just had to
Unbelievable.
like witness it. And it's quite an extreme example of how a brand is thinking about the immersive moment for the customer.
Hundred
But
percent.
the fact is that people are stopping engaging, and then they're turning to digital channels in order to share it. So they've
Yeah,
actually it's
it's working
switching.
both like the other way. Yeah, that's so interesting. And then the conversation is, you seen that thing from Louis Vuitton?
Exactly.
We could go on. I've got to move on, Adam. Right. Tell me, what does brand loyalty actually look like in 2025? And how do you earn that?
I think you're going to have to earn it moving forward by this emotional relationship, and this behavioral relationship you have with your customers. So it's not. There is going to be a transactional element which will be about loyalty schemes and that side of building loyalty because people want value. But I think what we're starting to see is brands who are engaging with that small core audience in more meaningful ways, which is around exclusives and in-store moments and services that they can't get if they're not deeply rooted within the brand ecosystem. And that's how brands are going to have to earn their loyalty because as a customer, you have so much choice, and the landscape is more competitive now than it's ever been. From the startup brands that are emerging, through to the like kind of big, global corporates, but having much more tangible emotional relationships with their customers is how they'll do it.
I think you're right.
It's
I
a value
think,
exchange.
yeah, and there are so many copycat versions of one another in everything, whether it's a fintech, a fashion brand, a rug company, whatever it is, there's so many different versions, and it's like the way I believe, and it feels like you do too, you differentiate those two things and what you love more is through the brand loyalty and how your consumers align to that brand through values or just the way it looks or feels or sounds, you know?
It was even like we're looking for sofas at the moment, boring, right? But
Yeah. Could be
we
fun.
went to DFS Sofology, and
Yeah.
they're like the high street,
Yeah.
and then we went to Loaf,
Yeah.
and the experience we got at Loaf was so personal, and it was so, you know, there was so much humility in and a relationship that they wanted to build with us as we walked in. We ended up talking with the staff for 15 minutes about the dogs that we had with us, and before you know it, we were like on sofas having a chat with a with you know with the team there.
So
In
smart.
DFS, they're like, just let you know, there's 15% off until Monday. It's like, what's like watching a TV ad as you walked in, and there and no one's engaged with you. And it was just even the in-store experience that as a brand, as a customer, you want to attach yourself to brands that care.
100%. I'd also happily attach a higher price point or
100%
value
agree.
to that
Totally
thing
agree.
because of the
I totally
experience.
agree.
Yeah, no, totally. Okay, and then what's one shift in customer behavior that's changed how you approach marketing?
I think it's the rise of TikTok and channels like
Really?
that and creators. So creators have become media platforms, and they've become media and they've become publishers. So the days in like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was working with YouTubers, which was the original influencer, you worked with them in a very niche, very one-dimensional way. Today, those influencers, they are publishers. They have media platforms. They have bigger reach and bigger networks of audiences than you could buy. So you have to treat them like a media platform. And that's just how that's changed the way that brands are working with these individuals. So they're no longer just about having a YouTuber involved in a campaign. It's part of a media plan. And
Interesting.
platforms like TikTok and Instagram, and even like live platforms like Twitch and other platforms, they're making us think differently about how we show up as a brand.
Yeah. How often would you lean on influencers and creators when it comes to, you know, a Reese or a Nike or a, you know, like or Chelsea? Like,
Yeah.
what? How would you?
Chelsea's probably the anomaly because you don't need to use them. The brand is so big in its own
True.
right. Nike, you still did because you had product. Nike's a product business, and you still need the you kind of you need the association with the right people and the right endorsements from the right people around wearing the product. And at Reese, it's almost like those influencers and creators become the voice of the brand into the networks that you need to try and reach because you can't buy that media, it's too expensive. And so yeah.
That's so interesting because I'm just thinking around customer behavior, like with Chelsea, for example, why that is so difficult. But you've got like a central C attached to their latest
Exactly.
ad and
Yeah,
stuff.
exactly. Or you've got the
Doesn't,
players.
but it doesn't really change customers' behavior because of the cult following in football
Yeah.
compared to a Nike.
Yeah.
Where you see some individuals associated to the brand, you're like, it's product at the end of the day.
It's
So you're
yeah.
like, I want to be more like the individual,
Yeah.
but that is so different to like a football culture.
Really different. And also you've got the players who are they're not players anymore. That you know, they
Yeah.
are they're the focus point of the whole
Real
business.
personalities.
They're brands again. You know,
Yeah.
they are brands in their own right. So you've basically got a team of 20, 25 sub brands within the brand.
God, yeah.
Changes the game.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
All right, I know we're running out of time, so final question. What is the most unhinged thing you've used ChatGPT for?
I mean, it's not been. No, there's nothing. I mean, I've definitely used it to book restaurants and book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like find availability on, you know, if I wanted a very niche meal in a very niche part of like a city,
That's a hack.
definitely use that. Find out if it's dog friendly, all of those things. Like I would go quite deep on it. Apart from that, I have definitely used it to write lots of copy for lots of different things in work. But
I love
yeah, it's
that.
not really unhinged.
No, but
I
that's
won't give you the best answer you're gonna get.
no. Yeah, no, the restaurant one's actually helpful.
Yeah, I mean, if you go in there and be like, I need dinner tonight for two people at 8 p.m. in Covent Garden area, and we want cocktails and live music, it will give you what you
That's
want.
sick.
Yeah,
I'm
I
gonna
love
use
that,
that.
and I've done it lots of times.